Christ is risen. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to our service this morning. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about Jesus' promise to guide us and to be our shepherd, even when we go through difficult circumstances in our daily lives. That's the theme of our service today. We welcome also those who are joining us at home online. We're delighted to have you with us as we worship together this morning. You'll have seen the notices on your way in. Just going to mention a few things that aren't on every week. This evening at 5 o'clock, our confirmation classes are continuing in the coffee bar. On Tuesday afternoon at 1:30, the funeral service of Mrs. Meta Greer takes place here in church at 1:30 on Tuesday. And on Tuesday evening, the Select Vestry will be meeting at 7:30 in the church hall. Wednesday afternoon, this month, the Ladies Open Door Friendship Group are meeting at 2:00, and there's a local historian coming to speak about the history and some reminiscences of this local area on Wednesday afternoon. All ladies are welcome. Next Sunday, our service is Holy Communion at 11 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. And as we come together to praise God on this lovely morning, we're going to open our service by singing the hymn Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Good morning. Our service today is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand now together and share our psalm, which is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore can I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He shall refresh my soul and guide me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full. Surely goodness and loving mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please take your seats.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 27, beginning to read at verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the desert of Zin." Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
As we sing our next hymn, we're going to ask children and young people to go out for Sunday school. And while they do that, let's stand and sing together, Abba, Father. We will sing it through twice. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to watch a video now about the bishop's appeal. This video was launched in General Synod, and it celebrates the fact that the bishop's appeal has been running now for 50 years. And St. Finian's Church has had a long-standing relationship with this appeal, and you've been supporters of this appeal for a long time. So let's take a moment now to watch this video.
Bishop's Appeal was set up in the early 70s as a response from the House of Bishops to famine in Ethiopia. At the heart of Bishop's Appeal, there has always been a vision to be a connected church, a church that doesn't exist for itself, but that walks alongside others, one that looks up and looks out, and in doing so, finds Christ, who ignites our connections and leads us out of hopelessness.
We as a church should be seen to helping those in poorer countries, those in developing countries. We look at education, we look at food, we look at rural design. In particular, we keep a fund for major disasters such as flooding, cyclones, earthquakes, and so on.
Over the past 50 years, we have continued to respond to disasters and emergencies, but from the very beginning, this went hand in hand with responding to injustice. The injustice that causes a web of poverty to entangle the majority of the world, and the sin of gross inequality and all the systems and structures that perpetrate it. Church of Ireland donations have responded in historic situations, in support of Vietnamese boat people, providing relief for Cambodians fleeing the Khmer Rouge. Donations have provided life-saving supports in the aftermath of cyclones and earthquakes, during droughts, famines, and even pandemics. And donations have been vital amidst the brutality of war, supporting people who have been decimated by such tragedies, with provisions of medical supplies, food, water and water purification kits, emergency shelters, even seeds and tools or pop-up schools and trauma counseling. Then, in the aftermath of war, perhaps when the world is no longer watching, donations have continued to support the rebuilding and the provisions people need to begin again.
Last year in May, the volcano just outside Goma in the Democratic Republic of Congo erupted as the lava came down. It was across many parishes in Goma City, and part of the destruction was to the primary schools that are in many of those parishes. And one of them was completely flattened by the lava of the volcano. And so the church was crying out in crisis of what to do. The government had made a ruling that no one was allowed to build on the lava flow. And so the church had to look for funds to buy a completely new plot of land for this school. And of course, when children are displaced due to a disaster like that, one of the main things that we want to do for their mental health and their progress is to get them back into routine and normality. And so Bishop's Appeal was able to help us get funding to buy that new piece of land for the school. And the new school's been built already. The children are already back in there learning and back into their normal routine, in spite of the fact that they've lost their homes and some of their belongings in that disaster that happened.
As Bishop's Appeal, we believe we are not simply called to react from the sidelines. We are called to walk alongside and to play our part in the restoration process. We believe that God's plan for people's lives is not survival, it's flourishing. So seeking justice and fairness and an end to poverty are therefore integral parts of the church's mission. And when we play our part in that mission, we are joining with others who are playing their part, all strands being woven into a beautiful tapestry by the master designer.
So one of the first projects that I was aware of that was funded by Bishop's Appeal was a vocational training college in northern Uganda for Sudanese refugees. I remember particularly a story of one girl called Nema. She was born in the refugee camp to a mother who was unable to look after her and left her as a baby at the door of the local pastor's house. The local pastor took her in and did his best for her, sending her to school in the camp, but she struggled with academic work and wasn't able to complete primary school. Eventually, as an older teenager, he heard about the vocational training college and brought her along to the college there in Arua. She was admitted onto the building course, and although she struggled to get through some of the written work on the course, she did very well with the practicals, and eventually after 1 year, she qualified from that course as a builder. Several years later, I went back to South Sudan and I bumped into her and I said, you know, what are you doing nowadays, Nema? She said, well, I'm settled back here in South Sudan. And I said, how are you supporting yourself? And she said, well, I'm a builder, of course. And she told me that she had two children that she was supporting through school. She was able to pay their school fees. And I also asked her, you know, well, what have you been building? And she said, well, I've been involved in building schools across South Sudan.
Over half the children in Nigeria under five were all dying with malaria through mosquitoes. And we decided an aim for £100,000 to raise, and we did raise £117,000.
If the Church of Ireland had sent 50,000 mosquito nets to people struggling to feed their families due to constant ill health, many people have said afterwards that they would have sold those nets for food. But instead, the partnership saw Christian Aid bring together faith leaders and community leaders to lead and promote the program. They ran education workshops, net maintenance and repair workshops, and when people knew the importance of the nets and how to care for them, the nets were then distributed. Within 2 years, 90% of all children were sleeping under the nets. The mortality rate had decreased, and malaria in women and children was reduced by over 50%. The story of the road to Emmaus speaks to us when disasters seem cyclical, never ending. Suffering seems to occur in relentless waves, and people get caught up in crisis after crisis again and again, and we think we're no closer to peace and justice than when we started. There is no hope, but unbeknownst to us, in our faithful walking alongside each other and listening to one another and sharing each other's load, Jesus is with us and change is underway. Today in Ethiopia, there is still prolonged periods of drought, exacerbated by COVID, climate change, rising food costs, locusts, and conflict. But also today in Ethiopia, there are now over 1 million people in local self-help groups and saving schemes, thanks to our partner, Tearfund. People have learned business and improved agricultural skills. They have saved funds from their ventures. They share ideas and weather forecasts and advice on how to withstand intensely dry periods. Bishop's Appeal has repeatedly funded these programs, knowing that when crisis hits, it is still devastating. But now, for so many, they have reserves.
Well, my prayer for the Church of Ireland is that it would be a mission-shaped church. And Bishop's Appeal is a conduit for the mission of the Church of Ireland on a global dimension in transforming the lives of people who face such hardships that we know nothing about. And in Jesus Christ, we want people to be free and to flourish.
As we advocate, we also educate. We have things to learn and unlearn, and we have mindsets that need to be challenged. But we know that when we play our part, when we commit to connection, change happens. Jesus meets with us along the road and lives are transformed. Now, as we take stock We acknowledge all that has been achieved by the grace of God. But it is also time to ask ourselves, what change do we want to be part of for the next 50 years?
That's so much that has been done through the bishop's appeal over the last 50 years. And I liked when the bishop said that the Church of Ireland would be a mission-shaped church. And we also pray that our mission would be a God-shaped mission. And so let's let those ideas and what we've seen sink in as we stand up and share together the words of the Apostles' Creed and declare our belief in this God of mission. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the third Sunday of Easter. The fourth Sunday of Easter. Let's pray. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is in the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is The Lord is My Shepherd.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the difficult experiences in any of our lives, if we follow Jesus, is when doubts start to assail us. And doubts can come in all shapes and forms, from doubts about certain doctrines or teachings, to doubts about more fundamental matters like, is there a God? Does he care about what's going on in the world right now? Does he have any connection or involvement in what's going on in my life right now? I had a powerful conversation recently with a few friends about mental health, and we were talking about the different things that can impact our sense of security and well-being. And there are seasons in our lives when many of us have a deep sense that all is well. Maybe we're feeling very content in our relationships, we're fulfilled in our work, and our health is good. And we like to see those around us flourishing as well. But it doesn't take all that much for these things to go awry. Changes in our work situation, a crisis in our health, or the health of someone close to us. Maybe the breakdown in a relationship that matters to us. All these things can tip the scales the other way and leave us feeling isolated, anxious, and overwhelmed by negative thoughts. And we find sometimes that our mind seems to be buzzing constantly. We might have difficulty sleeping or concentrating, and we lack the stability and the purpose that we enjoyed at another time. And sometimes what we really long for is reassurance, the knowledge that while a difficult season may come, it too will pass. And that's where I believe our New Testament reading this morning has some powerful insights to share with us. And it starts, as many of Jesus' teachings do, with lots of people milling around him. And they are questioning and they're challenging him and they're wanting to know if he really is who he says he is. They want clarity and they want answers. But so often, like many of us, they want the answers on their terms. They want to hear the answers if those answers reaffirm their personal position. They want to hear the answers that will somehow cement their own strongholds and positions of power and influence. But Jesus rarely, if ever, gives those kinds of answer. In fact, he reminds his audience of how he has already communicated clearly who he is through the miracles, but they refused to believe him. Jesus goes further and he says, "You don't believe because you are not my sheep." So it's strong language that he uses for this Jewish audience. Because Jesus often used imagery around sheep and shepherds to describe who his followers were. And we see that language right throughout the Old Testament too. We heard it this morning in our psalm. We hear it sometimes in the prophets. And these images that Jesus uses of sheep and shepherds, well, they can either be very comforting or they can be very challenging, depending on how you see your relationship with Jesus. Do you find your identity in him? Do you rest in his presence? Do you surrender to his leadership in your life? Or are you constantly one of those people who are trying to escape from the flock? Would you rather live life on your own terms or seek to do it his way? Here's another hard question. Do you trust him to lead your life? Or do you sometimes find yourself wondering if he really has your best intention at heart? I think we all struggle with that question, particularly when things are tough in our personal circumstances. And we saw a video earlier on where people's personal circumstances, for most of us, are unimaginable in terms of the struggles and the challenges that daily life brings. And if we find ourselves in our own situation, up against it, there are these other voices that begin to play in our head. And the voices say things like, God couldn't really love you if he allowed that to happen to you. Or they say things like, what's the point in believing and trusting in God if that's what unfolds for you? Or don't you think that this great God of yours has somehow forgotten all about you? And that's where it's really important and it's really helpful to clear our head and to remind ourselves again of Jesus' words to us, if we have ever trusted in him. It all sounds deceptively simple, where he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. And if I understand what all of this is saying correctly, what it says is, you belong to Jesus, and I belong to Jesus forever. He knows everything about us. He knows the good, and he knows the bad. He knows those areas in our lives that are rich and fulfilled, and he knows those areas in our lives where there is anxiety and there's scarcity. And he's not saying, I'm going to change all of those difficult bits immediately. Indeed, those difficult bits might well go on for a long time. But what he says to us is, you will never perish. You will know eternal life. And no matter what happens, my protection will be all around you. No one can snatch us out of God's hands, despite their very best endeavors sometimes to do so. So that's what I want to say to you to close today. You are loved by God, and so am I. You are precious to him, and so am I. And no matter how things are for you as you come to church today, or if you're watching at home, God knows. And if, as it might be for some of us, our world is falling apart, or if we are in the happiest place that we've been for many years, no one can snatch you out of God's hands. So why not open yours
to him? Why not open your hand to him and allow him to guide you and to be your shepherd, to love and to lead you through this life and indeed into the next? Let us pray. Lord, we want to pray today for all who find themselves assailed by doubts. We pray for all who feel worried and anxious as their circumstances pose all kinds of challenges. And we pray that in the clamor and the fear, in the stress and in the pressure, your voice would be clearly heard, your presence would be increasingly real in people's lives. We pray for courage and for perseverance and for the right kinds of support from the right people at the right time to walk through those tough times in our lives and to enable us to get to the other side. We pray that your church might be a sign and a source of hope and compassion in the troubles that people face. And may we follow you, the Good Shepherd, all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. And as we continue to pray for the nations of the world, and we remember the huge numbers of refugees and displaced people right across the globe, we pray in particular for the family that we hope to welcome from Mariupol, and we pray for them as they await their visa to be processed. And as we pray for them and for refugees across the world, we're going to use a prayer written by a member of the Mothers Union. It's hard to imagine what it's like, Lord Jesus, to be forced to leave one's country, to embark on a perilous journey, and to find oneself along with thousands of others without a home, without a livelihood, and with little hope for the immediate future. But this is the plight of millions of people today. But you understand, Lord, because you left everything to come among us. As a child, you became a refugee, and in your ministry, you had nowhere to call home, nowhere to lay your head. So as we remember today those who are lost and alone, those who find themselves among strangers, we pray that they may find a home in you, the one who welcomes all. And help us, Lord, to do our part to make our neighborhoods and our churches places of belonging, places where we may share your love, the love that has found and accepted and welcomed us. Amen. We also want to pray today for all who have been elected to serve as public representatives in the Assembly. We pray too for all who feel disappointed that they were not elected. And we ask for a new spirit today to enter people's lives as they undertake this responsibility. We pray for the capacity to overcome complex problems, to make politics work, and to serve all the people well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we take a quiet moment now to pray for all those known to us who are sick or going through tough times. And we ask in the quietness for your comfort, your presence, your love, and your hand to guide them through difficult moments and difficult days. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we sing together, we continue to think and meditate on the Jesus who loves us and the God who is our shepherd. Let's stand and sing together, Loving Shepherd of Thy Sheep. Thank you very much for joining us in worship here this morning, and to those who are worshiping online, thank you for taking time out of your days to join us. If anything has raised any thoughts or any questions for you this morning, don't let good manners hold you back from knocking on our door or ringing us or chatting to one another and supporting one another as we move forward as a church. Let's close with a blessing prayer. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. We sing together, Thine Forever, God of Love.